You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank call.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in or participate in the show, feel free to do so. The number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. Doesn't look like we have any new callers, so let's get started. Wait. Always one step I forget every single freaking time.
Hey-o. Hey. Oh.
Okay.
Hey-o.
We get it.
I'm just here because I gotta clear something up.
Okay.
To be considered Thomas Austin is nothing short of a miracle. A wonderful compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Some say the highest of honors.
That's fair.
To be considered Thomas Austin. Now, I can say without certainty that I am not sus. I have appeared on multiple times with my face to the people. I have come on here and I've spoke from my heart, from my brain to the people. And to you, Ryan.
Okay.
He's wonderful, generous, gracious host. I'm not a big fan of this whole one call
that's
per
all.
Day thing.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not a fan of having to pay to interact with this medium. Not saying that you shouldn't. It's a great idea.
That was just a joke. We're good.
Terrific to monetize the show.
No, it was a joke.
However, it takes away the heart.
Yep.
It takes away the soul. You become a zealot at that point. And yes, I call it a zealot instead of a sellout because I can't quite call you a sellout no matter what you do. You've earned it. You've done a lot for us. And we, in return, try and do our best for you, for the show. I personally try to make it a little more entertaining for you, not for the people, for you. My goal is to at least have you think a little bit because, I mean, you can just look up stats. You can ask the robot. But I try and pick at your brain. I like figuring things out about people. That's what I like doing. And whenever you get a question from me, it's like, oh, I didn't know he was going there with that start of his conversation. And that's the goal.
Yep, that's the magic.
That's the goal there is to just kind of, get you off guard to where you're not thinking too far ahead, where it's just like, oh, all right, well, let me put this together real quick in my brain. Because that immediate reaction, that right there, is what your brain says is correct. All right, bye.
Thank you for all that clarification, and it's always good to hear your voice, Tom, and yes, it is an honor to just be Tom. Tom, did you have anything else to add to that?
As for my last call, Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify a couple things.
Okay.
One, I call in, questions, you answer. Got to keep you quick on your feet. Because as much as this is a Packer podcast, it's a Packer podcast ran, curated, and hosted by you.
Mm-hmm.
And so without, you know,
don't worry about
the
it.
Aspect of you, I mean, anybody can just go anywhere and listen to a Packers podcast. But because of you and how you are and how terrific and wonderful your brain is,
mm-hmm.
we all, for the most part, listen daily. Because that's how many episodes, you drop an episode daily for the most part. Sometimes on occasion you fall off the wagon there a little bit. But
I think considering I do two a day, I'm allowed to have a day without it. I'm averaging well above one a day. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's a hard thing to do.
It's a hard knock life.
And I give you a lot of credit for it. But with that being said,
it's always a but.
As much as you should listen to the majority of people who do call in, because even if they're not listening, you have people who are participating, and there's a genuine connection there that even regardless of, like, say, cheeseballing calling 40 times, that's an exaggeration, you probably called, like, what, 12? I call about 20,000, not exaggerating.
Roughly.
A lot of my calls probably got skipped during that massive skip, and I'm not too upset about it. I'm hurt. I'm not upset about it. I understand.
And again, I'm allowing you to put the call back in line. I just don't want old, outdated stuff to be at the forefront, and then it takes 2 weeks for us to get to the news, which is old news by the time we get to it. So if it's still relevant and you still want an answer to the question, just call in and ask it again. That might be a small inconvenience, I understand. And maybe you just don't feel like it, and that's fine. But I think that that's a reasonable thing to do, right? I mean, you understand why that makes the most sense. It's a good problem to have, that there's too many calls and that there are complications with so many calls. And one of the things that comes up sometimes with this really good thing of too many calls is occasionally your call is going to get skipped. But I'm giving you the option to self-judge, knowing what your call was. If you have a call that, you know, at this point in time, it's kind of irrelevant. Like if you are asking questions about who you think the Packers are going to draft and then the draft happens, you probably don't need to call that one back in. If you're asking a question that you really want to know about, like my favorite ice cream that's really just gnawing at you, call it back in. No problems, you know? So I feel like that's a fair way to do things.
But needless to say, do what you feel is best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do what you feel. If your goal is to retain people listening, you know, figure out what's going to keep that from going. Figure out how to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about us. Because I guarantee almost every single person who calls in, they're going to stay with you. Every single person who has called in, they've already kind of said to you by calling in that they listen, that they pay attention. And they ain't going to go anywhere. So, yeah, I'd say curate to the people, to the voiceless, to the people who don't call in, to the people who listen. Because that's the staying power, because we're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. This one call per day thing I've broken today, but I've done pretty good for the past couple of days. But do what you feel is best. Truly yours, Le Thomas Austin. Goodbye.
Sounds pretty good in French. Yeah, I appreciate the sentiment there. By the way, speaking of the French, I didn't realize what kind of a kinship I had with the French folk. Maybe it's because there's a tiny piece of me that is French, and that's a rumor that has been denied. But anyways, I never thought I had anything in common with the French. I thought they were basically like the, I don't even want to say Philadelphia, you know, like where they're rude and everything else. My we'll just say grandma had gone to France at one point and got spit on. So that's like, you know, what since I was a kid, it's like those people are just jagoffs. And then you add to that cowards and everything else, and there's nothing redeemable about the French. Imagine being the most arrogant people on planet Earth with no reason for it. Like, none. They're like Bears fans. They're super arrogant and they've earned nothing. Anyways, that was my disposition. Then I found out that French food is not actually what I thought it was. I thought French food was, you know, I mean, some good bakery and whatnot, but otherwise, it's all dainty and it's like sweet carrots and all this stuff. Come to find out, no, French food is like, we want meat drenched in butter. Like, excuse me? Like, yeah, dude. Like, in Wisconsin, we'll get, like, a meat stick and a stick of cheese, and it's like, bite of one, bite of the other. They'll just take a meat stick and a block of butter. Not literally, but I'm just saying. So, when I found that, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Then I find out that they're just as passionate and hardcore about food as Italians are. And so, they're hardcore about, like, meat and butter and wine and cigarettes. Not that that's that big of a thing, but still, I mean, it's just sort of this mentality of, screw you and your quinoa salad garbage. Give me a bottle of wine, pack of cigs, 6 pounds of meat, dump some butter and cheese on it, and let's do this thing. Like, I mean, I'll partake in almost all that. But I found this guy on YouTube. I guess. I think it's Jean-Pierre. I'm not going to look it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Just stumbled across that guy. That guy's awesome. He's freaking amazing. Love that guy. So I am learning to appreciate the French. Just a little aside, since you put a little French spin on your name there, Le Thomas Austin. It's also making me want to do some French cooking. He did this dish I've never heard of. Obviously, it's just one of those dishes that's specific to a certain part of France, but it was like, they made like a bean dish. I'm not super big on beans, but it was like basically a broth. We're going to cook beans with like all this stuff and make this amazing broth. But then over here, we're going to do, I think it was quail, but it would just do chicken. It was like chicken legs, so like the thighs and the legs together, with sausage and then like pork shoulder cubed up. And we're just going to brown all this meat up. And then we're just going to throw it to, and they do like layers. It's like we're going to lay out some beans, some of this delicious broth. Then we're going to do meat and sausage, and then more beans, and then more meat and sausage, pouring this broth over the top each time we do a layer. And then we'll do another meat sausage, but then we're going to throw the chicken legs. And then we throw the whole thing. Oh, wait. Then we cover the whole thing in breadcrumbs, even though it's all wet. But that's okay, because we're going to do so many layers of these delicious breadcrumbs, eventually it's going to form a hard crust. So he did like 3 layers, popped it in the oven, brought it back out, did another layer, popped it back in the oven. And then you just have this hard-crusted dish. And I would, if I were to somewhat Americanize it, which I know none of these things are American, but maybe sub out the beans for some pasta or some rice, you know, maybe? I'm just saying. But that's freaking amazing. So, come to find out that's what they're doing over there in France. And it's like, all right, never mind. I was wrong about you people. Might start to seem like New Yorkers. Like, you're a little rough around the edges, but you got some good food. And I appreciate that. And your love of the food and all that stuff. Like, I'm there with you. Probably don't want to sit in a room and eat with you, because we're not going to like each other. But, you know, there's that little tiny vague kinship there. I just love people that love food, you know? Cultures that love food. Italians, French, Mexican, Spanish, I don't know much about, but apparently they're obsessed with food too. They got that thing where they stay up late and eat all day or whatever. I don't know much about it. I just heard a little bit about it, but it sounds amazing. Anyways, Garrett, what's going on, man?
Breaker Breaker 19, this is Rubber Duck.
Hey.
Calling on Trucker Bob and all those Packernet After Dark callers. Let's get ourselves a convoy up to Titletown. I say we get a semi full of Omaha steaks, yes, for Ryan, a semi truck for Joe Janner pulling custodial supplies, pig pen for mailman Bob, and get a Southern Comfort for Clayton Swayze.
Yeah.
So let's get ourselves a convoy and a chartreuse minibus for Thomas Austin. We got a 2025 Titletown draft day. Let's get ourselves a convoy, boys.
I like that. Don't just bring yourselves, bring something. It'll be like a giant potluck, but better, because people won't bring stupid stuff like a potato salad. It'll be like, did you bring that 7 pounds of pork shoulder? It's not even that much. That 100 pounds pork shoulder. And you got those 30 slabs of ribs and whatnot. Yeah, okay, we're good to go.
Hey, Ryan, Steve up in Alaska. How's it going?
Good.
Hope everybody's doing well. Just calling in because I listened to the show that would be on the 24th, so whatever day that was, Wednesday or Thursday or whichever.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned I hadn't seen the news. I'm doing yard work. I'm kind of focused on what I got going on, so I haven't been keeping up on the news. But you mentioned that the Packers are going to get to host the draft in 2025, and I think that's pretty great. It'll give people that would never probably ever go to Green Bay in the Lambeau Field an opportunity to see it, and that's great for the team. That's great for the franchise. You know, 300,000 people that wouldn't normally be there seeing the place, seeing all the new stuff that's there. I've been there. I was there 2 years ago for the Raiders game. It's a great place. It's a great event. You know, people want to complain or say anything about, oh, there's homes right there. Those people in those homes for how many years now have been dealing with 80,000 people showing up to a game? You know, they're used to having large crowds of people showing up. They're used to letting their yards be used by those large crowds of people. So the infrastructure is already there. The place is used to it. It'll be a great place for people to go and do more than just, you know, like I said, city stuff. Because there's a whole lot of people that will probably want to go to an event like that that don't want to be stuck in New York or stuck in L.A. They don't want to go to a big city. But a small place like Green Bay, heck, they could show up for the draft and bring the fishing stuff with them or camping gear with them and make it into a whole week, you know, of being out and doing stuff that's, you know, family-oriented. So, I think it's pretty good. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing what the team does with it. So, but that's all I got to say. Y'all take it easy. I got to go back to doing some construction on the house. Take it easy. Bye.
Yeah, it sounds like we're all certainly in agreement about the NFL draft just being a fun environment. And you know, there are probably people who will be skeptical, but they're certainly going to be missing out if they don't come. I understand being skeptical. If I didn't know about Green Bay, you know, I think I'll skip that one. I'll go to more of a fun one, you know? Like if I was in, I don't know, Pittsburgh or something, like, do I want to go to Green Bay for the draft? I'm going to go to a draft. It's not going to be that one, you know? But I think they'd be missing out because I think it would be a really awesome experience for people.
Hey, Ryan. So earlier today, somebody said, hey, man, the Packers After Dark was wild because I guess Trucker Bob has really been going off. I'm like, oh, dang, I got to tune in and see what Trucker Bob was talking about. Was he upset about something? I don't know. So I opened up my podcast app and there's a Packernet After Dark just sitting there. I'm like, all right, getting my Packernet After Dark on. So I'm gaming, killing some zombies. I'm listening to the podcast. You know, great podcast.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying to read ahead. It's just a habit. It's kind of like when you read the subtitles on the TV. You don't need to. It's just if it's sitting there, you got to read it. And I read ahead a little bit about what you were going to say. And I believe you said gaming, killing some zombies, but the words here that Google thought you said was gay man killing some zombies, and I was really interested to see where this conversation was headed, but I'm sorry, go ahead, continue.
Sure enough, here's Trick and Bobby going on and talking, and it's like just a super normal call, just super chill, and then he finishes the call, he's like just being like super nice, and he's like, oh man, Ryan, you know, hope you have a happy Easter. Love you, man. Bye. And he hangs up. I'm like, well, that's about, man. Easter. It's a weird sort of way to sign off. Okay. Finally dawns on me. Like, I think the very next caller was, I think, Omar talking about, like, Quentin Johnston. And I'm like, what the heck? Up with all these people making these weird, like, who cares about Quentin Johnston? And you go to, like, the Chargers or something? Like, who cares? Obviously, I queued up an old Packer in After Dark. But I'm calling in now because I think, oh, man, I'm drawing a blank now on who recommended it. But somebody called in and recommended a dubbed horror movie, Train to Busan.
Right.
And he said that he was going to send you a DVD of it. So I was curious. Number one, did he send it to you? Number two, did you watch it? And what did you think? Because I actually saw that movie. My brother came over one day and put it on. He's like, you got to watch this. and it was actually, yeah, it was pretty good. We did not watch the dub version, nor did we have subtitles, so we just had to kind of guess what it was about. We're just listening to these guys talking in Korean. No subtitles, nothing. He just had this, like, bootleg copy of this movie. And we just had to guess the whole way through. We had a good time. All right. I'm going to quit wasting your time now. But let me know if you watched that.
I'm surprised you watched that movie because I've had that happen before where you'll find, like, the bootleg copy somewhere online or whatever. And it's in another language. You know, somebody's, like, recording in a movie theater and it's in another language and it's not dubbed. And, you know, you just turn it off right away. So I find that interesting. I hope not, because I haven't seen Train to Busan. So if somebody did send that to me, then I'm sorry to report I might have lost it. I don't know. I don't know if that was in the... If that was in the group of Omar movies, I don't think it's in here. I still got it right next to me. Dusk Till Dawn, Wrong Turn, Freaky, Demon Knight, and Hatchet. So I did watch all of those. I don't think there's any more anywhere, so I'm not positive. But no, the answer, I have not seen it yet. But thank you for reminding me. I will try to remember, and then we'll forget in about 8 seconds that I'm supposed to watch that.
Hey, it's Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
I just heard you talking about Memphis in May, and I wanted to call in to say that I've been to Memphis in May,
nice.
And it's awesome. It's like kind of like Summerfest, but instead of many little stages and like some medium stages and one huge stage, is like three huge stages. And it's right in the Mississippi, and it's great. It's great. Anybody who appreciates Milwaukee festivals would appreciate the journey down to Memphis for Memphis in May. I saw so eclectic. I saw Sonic Youth. I saw The Offspring. I saw Willie Nelson. You know, so just to give you an idea, and saw some really cool local bands too. One of which is called Lucero, Lucero, and I would encourage anyone to check them out. But I personally discovered them for myself. Just, you know, sitting there checking out a band, eating some barbecue as the sun set over the Mississippi, and it turned from you know, dusk to night. And it's a cool experience. So go check out Memphis in May, everybody. And I will just take credit for the Schrodinger's quarterback comment. That was me. That was Jimmy. That was a Jimmy original. I just heard Dakota Bettner in Tennessee mention that. So just wanted to pipe in, toot my horn a little bit. And I think that's all I got. I'll hang up and listen. Jimmy out.
So I'm actually excited to hear that because I had been like this is before I got into barbecue or anything like that or cooking or anything. This is when I lived in Kenosha and there was, I'm not kidding, I think it was called Meat Fest or Pork Fest or something. I don't think it was Rib Fest. That's something else and somewhere else. But I think it was in Racine. And it was like the greatest thing ever because they had some competitions, but it was like a little festival. They had some rides. Of course, they had places where you could buy food, but you could also, I think it was like $20 and you could be like one of the participant judges, not like, you know, so you got your official judges and then your just people that are walking around judges, but you get to go inside and they hand you these little tiny cups of pulled pork with their barbecue sauce on it. And I remember looking at the little tiny Dixie cup and thinking, man, this is kind of disappointing, but there was so much to eat. And then you get your little scorecard or whatever. I was so unbelievably full because I ate so much pork just out of these tiny little Dixie cups. And it was a heavenly experience for me. It was the perfect event. And I also discovered, like, you know, it's kind of cool because you kind of try to figure out what you like because some of them are a little bit more savory. I'm like, ooh, I like that. And then you get some super sweet ones. And I'm like, it's hard to compare the two because they're so different. They're on like a different spectrum, but they're both really good. So I kind of have to decide which one I like. You know what I mean? But it was awesome. But what I had heard And why I haven't been back to many of these other festivals is a lot of these judging competitions aren't really events for spectators. They're just like judging events. So there's like the people that are there with their big trailers and they're cooking and everything, but they're kind of closed off. And some people, as Malcolm will say, will kind of let you in. They might give you a tour. Maybe you let you sample something if they're being nice or whatever. But for the most part, this is an event for people that are competing, and there's not a whole lot for you to do there except maybe wander around and look at the people that are competing and whatever. So I just figure it's not worth really going to some of these events, aside from maybe sitting there waiting for the whole thing to end and then seeing the competition and clapping for the person that won, if you're super into, like, who's going to win it this year kind of thing. But that's kind of what I thought Memphis in May was, especially as Malcolm kind of set it up. Like, don't expect to get in there and, like, interact with these people because they're busy, which makes sense. I'm not saying I expected that, but it just, I didn't really hear a whole lot of, like, there's tons of stuff, there's bands and there's all this cool stuff for you to do. And so, yeah, I think that's pretty cool, and would definitely want to check it out now. I don't want to go all the way down to Memphis and, you know, not really have anything to do but sit there and be like, hey, it's Malcolm, and hey, that's Blues Hog, and hey, that's, you know, whatever. And then, you know, wave, stand there and smell. Like, oh, smells good. Can I have it? No? Okay. It's fine. I had McDonald's, so we're good. Yeah, I would love to go to more events. I haven't even been to Ribfest, which is not super far from me. I think it's in Janesville. I'm not sure. But I've just heard a bunch of people complaining about it, so I haven't gone. But it's probably an awesome event. I don't know. You know what I should do right this second? It's already basically into that season. Why am I not doing this? Well, and of course, there's Broadfest. It starts today. I wonder if they're going. I know my wife said they're definitely... Oh, I think she said they are going today. Going to get their brats and whatnot. We've been there. We've been like every year, and I kind of just got tired. It's the same stuff every year. And brats are good, but I can make my own brats. So wait in this long line for a brat. What else we got? Food Truck Festival. Taste of Madison, Blues, Brews, and Food Truck Festival. That's in New Glarus, okay. A lot of food truck festivals. Never been to one. I've seen them before and haven't gone because it's like I can't afford one food truck, much less like 70 of them. Food Truck and Craft Beer Festival. Is this becoming like a big thing? Another food truck festival. It's just like every town has their own food truck festivals. Best of the Midwest Barbecue in Union Grove. Meat Fest in Milwaukee. What am I doing with my life? Anyways, tell you what, why don't we take a break? I'm going to continue looking at all the festivals and getting hungry. And Jimmy, a.k.a. Aaron number two, will be serenading us on the other side of the break. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing. But they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So I said it would be Aaron, but I see something here that says unknown, which I've never seen before. But I'm guessing this is somebody who hasn't called in. So let's see how this goes.
Hey, Ryan. Russ the Realist here. First time listener.
Hey, Russ the
Realist. First time caller. First time listener. Guys.
So is that like the realist? Like you're a rapper and you're like, I'm the realist, bro? Or is it the realist like I don't want to say keeping it real because that would confuse things, but you know what I mean? Like I'm a realist. I'm guessing it's the latter, but it's kind of funny to think it might be the former. Is that right? The former? The latter? The first one. Oh, and I can't even change your name on here to anything but unknown. So I guess you will be unknown forever. Sorry, continue, the realist.
And the truth, because no one will admit it. And there needs to be accountability. I did not say this lightly. There's a criminal investigation ongoing by me into Matt Murphy. He's a master maker of a criminal Ponzi scheme. Oh, you don't believe me. He sells season tickets promising a Super Bowl, but then he literally takes a baseball bat to Aaron Rodgers' knees and beats the absolute hell out of him.
Wow.
He forces the team to trade Brett Favre. Uh-huh. He forces the team to draft Kenny King. And he forces the team to draft Jordan Love, who is probably going to go undrafted. Let's be real about that. Jordan Love wouldn't even hack it in the XFL. I had proof. He played at Utah State. That is way worse than an XFL team. I've never even heard of Utah State, and he didn't win jack shit there. Murphy needs to be replaced by Ed Policy immediately. Please, how can we make Murphy sell the team to Ed? Ed will save us. He can trade for Devontae. He can trade for Aaron. And he can trade Kenny King to the XFL and trade for TJ Watt like a real owner should have done a long time ago. If Ed Policy won't do it, then can we please sell the team to Sheila Ford Wheaton? She is the new owner of the Lions, and she's turned the whole culture around. Mm-hmm. I swear to God they are going to win the Super Bowl this year. Clayton was going on and on about it, and he's absolutely right. It's an embarrassment. Mark McCarthy can rot in hell for what he's done to Aaron Rodgers, a man just weeping on his knees, begging for any help at all. Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you for your time. Go Pack, go.
You know, sometimes people call in, and they do a really good job just kind of being goofy. Man, some of you guys are, it's real, like, this had to have been a spoof call, I'm guessing. And it was on point, but it was so convincing that there's a part of me, it wasn't until halfway through that I'm like, oh, okay, he's just kidding around. But even now I'm like, you were kidding around, right? I just want to go through some of the points here. It's probably hard to tell because, you know, Google doesn't pick everything up, but criminal investigation ongoing by me into Matt Murphy. Maybe they picked that up wrong. I don't know, but I'm positive you got several names wrong here. The master manipulator of a criminal Ponzi scheme. He sells season tickets promising a Super Bowl, but then he literally takes a baseball bat to Aaron Rodgers' knees and beats the absolute hell out of him. So it's probably less funny if I go back and explain all of these, but I'm going to do it anyways because we're just going to take it point by point because I enjoyed this. So first of all, I don't think the season ticket is sold under some undue promise of a Super Bowl. Also, I don't think that would be a Ponzi scheme. I think that would be fraud or some variation of fraud. I don't think that has anything to do with a Ponzi scheme. That Ponzi schemes are like the pyramid scheme things, you know? I'm not sure if there's a distinction between the two or whatever, but either way, it wouldn't be a Ponzi scheme. Also, I don't think he literally took a baseball bat to Rodgers' knees, or even figuratively for that matter, much less beat the absolute hell out of him. He forced the team to trade Brett Favre, no. And he forced the team to draft Kenny King. I don't know who Kenny King is, but I do know who Kenny Clark is, and I know who Kevin King is. And I know that Mark Murphy didn't force either of those draft picks. And then you said, force the team to draft Jordan Love, who's probably going to go undrafted. I'm guessing you meant who was probably going to go undrafted if we didn't get him, but I'll give you that one. I don't know why. We'll just let you have it. Jordan Love wouldn't even hack it in the XFL. I mean, the XFL is a thing. I don't think that that's entirely true, but I guess we don't know. But the proof was that he played at Utah State, and Utah State is worse than an XFL team. That's probably true, but that's also true of pretty much every college football team. And he didn't win anything while he was there. I don't know if that's true or not. It's another irrelevant point that I'm not going to look up. Murphy needs to be replaced by Ed Policy immediately. And then, then you wanted to sell the team to Sheila Ford Wheaton. If Ed Policy won't replace Mark Murphy, I don't think that that's in the cards, selling the team to the owner of the Lions. And even if we did have to sell it to somebody, it probably wouldn't be a person that owns another team, number one. And then number two, I'd want it to be a team that has actually won something ever, or at least gone to a playoff game, would just be a thought. And then you mentioned it's an embarrassment. Mark McCarthy can rot in hell for what he's done to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure who Mark McCarthy is, but apparently Mark McCarthy is a guy that refused to help Rodgers as he was weeping on his knees asking for any help whatsoever, which I'm assuming didn't happen. So I appreciate the call. Again, if this was just a fun little troll. I found it amusing. If you're being serious, I guess I addressed the points as best I can. That's all I can say. All right, let's get back to Jimmy.
Dude, sorry, Jimmy, one more time. I don't know if this got deleted back in the dump, but I'm just going to say it now. Just maybe I missed it, so forgive me if that happened. But here's my question. So I'll frame it first. Rogers watched Favre, and he learned a lot of good things, and he learned some things not to do. And it seems to me like he decided he was not going to throw interceptions. Like, that was his big thing. Because he saw Favre throwing a bunch of interceptions. Like, I don't want to be...
You did miss it. You asked me that already, and I answered it. So, I don't know when that was, but feel free to go back and find it. I don't even remember my answer, but I do remember you asked it, and I answered it.
Hey, Ryan. I'm just giving you a quick call, because that's what this show is for. Not any, like, 10-minute calls or anything stupid ones. Anyways, am I the only one that remembers? Because I know that Aaron Rodgers is famous for not throwing interceptions, right? You have, like, right. A traditionally very, 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 very good touchdown-to-interception ratio. But am I the only one who remembers over the years, countless times, absolutely countless times, that Rodgers threw the ball directly in? It's almost as if he was throwing to the cornerback or the safety or whoever more than his own receiver. And the cornerback or the defensive player just dropped the ball. That's happened way, way, way more than I can remember for pretty much any other quarterback. But I mean, I mainly watch Packer games, but I also watch a lot of other games, whatever I can see on TV. And being in Minnesota, I see more Vikings. And I definitely have seen Aaron Rodgers throw more balls directly into the defender's hands that the defender drops than any Vikings quarterback I have seen. And so nobody ever talks about that. Nobody ever says, oh yeah, Rodgers threw this directly to the defender, but it wasn't an interception. And I know you've brought up the stat of turnover-worthy plays and whatever, but it just seems that that's something that people don't like to focus on. And I get that it only counts really if it is actually interception, but that's something that Rodgers has done. And I'm not hating on Aaron Rodgers, but nobody ever talked about that. I've never heard that stat brought up by pretty much anyone. Or no one ever... the ball was dropped. They move on. They don't talk about the fact that he's directly as an offender. Anyways, I repeated myself about 20 billion times. So, bye.
Yeah, so turnover-worthy plays is where I was going to head with that, because although I don't have a dropped interception metric, I don't really need it, because that's... Now that I'm thinking about it, that's pretty much literally what turnover-worthy play is. It's a play that you threw that could have been picked. Whether it was or wasn't is irrelevant to the stat. It's you threw the ball, and a defender could have picked that off. And I will say, Aaron Rodgers did throw 18 of those. So, as you mentioned, as somebody who primarily watches Packers games, you probably noticed, I mean, that's you know, once a week is what that is. So on average, every single week you're seeing a defender drop a pass, and I could see how that would get stuck in your head. Also, Rodgers does throw the ball more than some quarterbacks. So before we even look at turnover-worthy play percentage, because we're talking about perception, if you look at the turnover-worthy plays, which is just the number of times that it happened, Aaron Rodgers ranks 25th, which is 25th worst, that is. So he's thrown more than a lot of quarterbacks. But if you look at it as a percentage, he is and has been pretty much every year, including this year, which was a down year, relatively low. This year was actually pretty much middle of the pack or slightly better than. He ranked 15th, tied with Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins with 2.9% of his passes. But if we go backwards, you know, 2021, he was the third best in that metric at just 2%. The only ones that were better were Tom Brady and Justin Herbert. But even at that, it's still 13 times. So we're still relatively close to once per week, right? He ranks 9th in that regard because, again, there's a lot of quarterbacks that just don't throw the ball as much. Like Justin Fields hardly ever throws it. I'm sure some other people rarely throw. It's just the only one that comes to mind. By the way, Justin Fields is like the worst at this. I mean, if you just as an aside here, if you're looking at turnover worthy plays and you get rid of the quarterbacks that are not going to be starting, like Heinicke, Zach Wilson, and Cooper Rush, I don't think they're going to be starting. I don't know. Maybe they're somewhere else and they got the starting. I don't know. Justin Fields is the next worst. The next starting quarterback, I think, I can't even keep track of this anymore, but I think it's Tua, who's at 4.2%, Fields 4.4%. Dude is just the worst. But yeah, I mean, you're right insofar as it does happen a lot. But I do think this is one of those things where, because we only look at the Packers most of the time, especially since we scrutinize the Packers more. And I think this is where a lot of negative Packer fans kind of get off. And I'm not saying you are one, but I'm just saying this is where this kind of happens, is you tend to scrutinize your own team more often. This happens to me all the time, right? I'll watch the game and 30 seconds in, the Packers will go 3-and-out and I'm just beside myself. Like, you got to be freaking kidding me. You start the game like this. Like, this is a disaster. I cannot believe it. You have all week to prepare. Any other game I watch, right? You watch the noon game, you pick the game, the late game, whatever. If a team doesn't, it doesn't, who cares? Like, I can't even imagine, like, if I was with a random, let's say, Broncos fan and they went like 3-and-out, or a Chiefs fan, let's pick a really good team, and they go 3-and-out, or there's some kind of a bad play, they hit in the backfield and they're beside themselves. I'm like, dude, shut, you're going to win the game, you freaking dork. Shut up. But because it's my team, it's much more scrutinized. And so, yeah, as a Packer fan, you watch and you see a pass, you know, and again, once a week is a lot. You see a pass that is thrown that could have been or possibly was intercepted. And I guess we could find out exactly how many dropped interceptions it was by just subtracting the interceptions from the turnover-worthy plays, which actually isn't that much considering how many picks he threw. He threw 12 interceptions and had 18 turnover-worthy plays, which would mean it was about 6 times that happened.
What's going on? This is Omar Firefighter. How y'all doing?
What's going on?
Sorry, it's been a while. I had a whole bunch of life-altering things happen.
Get it.
To me, my sister passed away, so I've been taking care of my nieces. I lost my 4 kids. So I got a whole house full of kids. So I've been kind of busy. I'm backed up on the pod. I did hear about your rule. I wanted to kind of make an objection, but I said, I don't know, they probably already settled this by the time I call. About the, like, you call one time and then you got your 3 minutes, and then after that you get skipped for a while. And I do get it, because the time the Austin calls was getting a little ridiculous, and the cheese ball and stuff was getting ridiculous. I totally agree on that. I kind of was hoping, like, maybe y'all just would have come to, like, a mediation and maybe do, like, 2, because sometimes, you know, the 3 minutes go by fast and you might have a lot to say. So I would say 2 calls would be good. Like, anything more than 2 back-to-back calls, you wait. But, again, it's probably already been settled, so it doesn't matter. I did, you know, hear a lot of people saying that we're rebuilding, and a lot of people are wondering why people say that, and some Packer fans get mad. And I don't believe we're rebuilding, but I think they're trying to say is, to play devil's advocate, they're trying to say, because we lost Aaron Rodgers, like, he was the foundation of the house. So, yeah, if you remodel certain things, you remodel walls, windows, doors, stuff like that. But, like, it's hard, you know, it's hard to remodel basically the base of the home. You know, it should be done. It's just more difficult. So they're trying to say, like, Rodgers is the thing that kept the Packers together. Now, if this was back-to-back MVP Rodgers and then we lost him, I could kind of be like, see what the issue was. But to be honest with you, Rodgers played like crap last year. And I felt like if Jordan Love was in those same games, like, especially against the Lions, like the little pass to Bakhtiari and stuff, like, he played horrible. So I don't know if it was the thumb or what, but I feel like it's kind of like, well, the base of the home already cracked. So we just, you know, we got Jordan Love, we're going to refix this. And they think we're rebuilding, but I'm like, well, everything else is pretty good. Like, the receivers are on par. Everything is basically the same, if not better. I don't think we got worse, maybe, other than safety. And to be honest, it's the same with the safety. The safety didn't play good last year at all anyway. So even if we're, if that's our weakest link, it's still good. But anyway, go Pack, go. I miss y'all, and hope everything and everybody's doing well. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry to hear about that. I feel pretty honored that you would even care to call, you know, with all the stuff that you got going on, and obviously it's in the off season, so that's, I mean, it means a lot, you know, that that would even be in any way a priority. even though it's just a couple minutes out of your day or whatever. But anyways, yeah, as far as the rebuilding thing, I get what people are saying. I just think it's the wrong word. I think there's better words for it, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? The team is, as I said, it's what was the word I chose? I think it was just redirecting, if we needed a reword, but we're heading in a new direction is the point. And that's true, because it's an entire course correction when you're talking about the team. But, you know, again, what if you have a team and you're rebuilding it, and that's the thing. I don't want to broaden it out so much. I mean, in my mind, rebuild has a very specific connotation, and it is a negative connotation for a reason, because it's negative. And it's necessary for a lot of teams, but rebuilding is, you have a lot of older pieces that essentially need to be tore down. You have a lot of your other pieces are just not really core guys. Like you don't really have that core that says in 5 years, these are the guys that I intend to have and I intend to win with. That isn't true of the Packers. Jordan Love is that guy. Aaron Jones, maybe not quite as much, but we intend to play with him and win with him right now. A.J. Dillon's that guy. Christian Watson's that guy. Romeo Doubs is that guy. Jaden Reed is that guy. Our entire offensive line, with the exception maybe of David Bakhtiari. But again, we're not tearing down. We're not getting rid of Aaron Jones. We're not getting rid of David Bakhtiari. Why? Because this isn't a tear down and rebuild. So we're holding on to those guys, and we have an entire team loaded with people that are going to be our future. So a rebuild is just something different, and I'm not going to just say that it's a fine word. No, it's not. That's not what it is. I get what people are trying to say. It's like if, you know, you're watching the Arnold Classic or whatever, you know, the Mr. Olympia, Mr. Universe. I think Arnold Classic is something else, but the Mr. Olympia thing, right? And you got all these super, Rip doesn't even really say it, but massively roided out muscular people. And you said, that dude is fat. It's like, what are you talking about? They're not fat. Well, they're way overweight. Well, technically. Well, their BMI, yeah, I understand that, but they're not fat. Oh, this is just, it's just semantics. They check a couple boxes, they're fat. No, fat is the wrong word. There are other words you can use to get your point across. I'm not going to let you just say fat because you don't want to use a different word and because you think it's, and by the way, it's because you know that it has a negative connotation and you want to use a word with a negative connotation. That's the entire reason people are dug their heels in on a word that isn't exactly the right word. It's the same thing with this. Like, I want to call them fat. They're not, though. Yeah, you know, you're trying to disparage these people because their body is not something that you like. Well, they fit the criteria in these areas of being fat. Yeah, but they're not. Because there are other criteria of being fat, like, oh, I don't know, high fat percentage, which they have like none. Wrong word. Use a new word. They're not rebuilding. If you want to say rebuilt, I guess you can, although, because they never really went through that full tear down and rebuild process. There is a big change in Green Bay that's different than a rebuild. It's just not the right word. I'm not going to be flexible on it. But anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. You guys have yourselves a fantastical day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.